defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To find out more about the program, Hank Hanegraaff, or other highly recommended resources to be better equipped with answers, go to www.equip.org. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And again, whatever your question, the number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Joining me in studio today, Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, and via the phone lines, Bill McKeever. I'm always happy to have Bill on the broadcast. He founded Mormonism Research Ministry in 1979 with the hope of informing the body of Christ about the differences between Mormonism and Christianity, as well as to, and this is very important, to reach out to Mormons with the truth of God's Word. He has written many books, including Mormonism 101, Examining the Beliefs of the Latter-day Saints, and a forthcoming Answering Mormons Questions. That's coming out in 2012 sometime. We're getting pretty close to the end of 2012, but Bill can probably tell us a little more about that in just a few moments. He's the host of a daily radio program, Viewpoint on Mormonism, and his expertise on the history and doctrines of Mormonism has allowed him to be invited to speak at churches and conferences and seminaries around the United States and the world. He lives in the Salt Lake City area. And again, he's a contributor to the Christian Research Journal. And of course, Elliot Miller is editor-in-chief of the journal. So we want to focus your attention on what the journal provides, particularly in recent issues when it comes to the subject of Mormonism. As prologue to my interview with Bill McKeever, and before we go to your questions, I want to mention a couple of things about Mormon eschatology, because according to the Latter-day Saints, America's government is eventually going to crumble amid social turmoil, economic instability, and religious strife. And then the Mormon Church, through the use of its accumulated wealth and political power, will step in to rebuild the nation and restore economic security. This will ultimately lead, in their view, to the return of Jesus Christ, who will set up a 1,000-year global theocracy based in Jackson County, Missouri. And Mormons worldwide will be gathered together along with the descendants of the 10 lost tribes of Israel and will subsequently reign with Christ, and everyone will then be confronted with the truth of Mormonism as the only one true religion on earth. In fact, Orson Hyde, who was a very influential contemporary of Joseph Smith, succinctly expressed the hope of the Latter-day Saints when he said, "What the world calls Mormonism will rule every nation. God has decreed it, and his own right arm will accomplish it. God will pour out his judgment over the earth." Joseph Smith alleged God had told him that the return of Christ would take place before he was 85 years of age. Of course, that didn't happen. But millennial madness so gripped Joseph Smith that he laid a cornerstone in Jackson County, Missouri, at the exact location he supposed the millennial temple would be constructed. And in Doctrine and Covenants, he said this, "Thus saith the Lord your God, behold, the place which is now called Independence is the center place, and the spot for the temple is lying westward upon a lot which is not far from the courthouse." Smith also believed that the Garden of Eden was located in western Missouri and that Adam would return to the state of Missouri to prepare the way for the millennium. He even claimed to have discerned that a pile of rocks he stumbled upon were the remains of an altar Adam had built with his own hands in Davies County. It's very important for us to understand that when we talk about Mormonism, we're talking about America's largest naturally born religion in the history of our country, a religion that has now circled the globe. And of course, Mormonism is in the spotlight today like never before. A lot of reasons, not only Mitt Romney and John Huntsman in the news, but also there's the I'm a Mormon campaign. You run into it all over the internet and on billboards. The Broadway musical, The Book of Mormon, of course, has been extraordinarily popular. So this is an extraordinary opportunity for us to write and talk about Mormonism. Again, before I bring in Bill McKeever, I want to talk to Elliot Miller for just a moment about this very issue, the fact that we have, as a result of Mormonism being in the news from all kinds of venues and all kinds of vantage points, we have an opportunity to talk about Mormonism and to write about it in the Christian Research Journal so that Christians can be equipped not to win debates, but to win people.
Well, that's what our mission is, Hank, and we are very concerned about Mormonism because we are concerned, we are passionate for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. You know, we believe that this is God's wonderful gift of salvation through grace in faith in Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. And so this is eternal life, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. At the same time, if anyone does not believe in Jesus Christ, they are eternally lost. And so we are concerned when people come on the scene, you know, historically, and claim to be representing the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, but then teach a different gospel, advocate baptism under a different spirit, and proclaim a Jesus different than the Jesus of the Bible. And so that you know, that is a concern about that very thing is what drew me into this ministry. And I started studying the cults a couple of years after my conversion, around 1972, when a friend of mine became a Jehovah's Witness. And of course, then I had a Mormon at work, and I had to learn how to deal with him. So I started reading books by Walter Martin, the founder of the Christian Research Institute, which at that time was in New Jersey. And I thought, boy, that sounds like the perfect place for me to work. It's too bad that it's in New Jersey. Well, the next thing I know, Walter Martin moves CRI to Southern California, where I was located. And by 1976, I was working there. And so CRI has always been about educating the church and the world at large about the danger of the cults, about groups that are presenting these false gospels. And really, when I think of a different Jesus, a different spirit, and a different gospel, what fills that profile better in my mind than Mormonism? And of course, Mormonism is the largest. If you want to call it a cult, it is certainly the largest cult. In fact, by sociological standards, it's evolving into the newest world religion, you know, because of its size and its spread. And so we have been about educating people about this, and we have always, whether it was Jonestown, people, you know, Waco, Heaven's Gate, or you know, Michael Jackson being a Jehovah's Witness, or whatever the issue was, we have always capitalized upon it to further our mission of educating the public. When the public is interested in knowing about the cults, that's when a door is open for us, you know. And so a couple weeks ago or so, I got an appeal letter from you, Hank, in the mail as one of the many people on the CRI mailing list, and you were addressing this very issue. And I thought, that's true to the nature of CRI. You know, this is, if we did not do this now, we would be inconsistent with our mission. And that is that there's nothing more dangerous than a false gospel. This will cost people an eternity apart from Christ, and how much more tragic if they thought they were turning to Christ and instead they embrace their own damnation.
Also on the broadcast today, as mentioned just a few moments ago, Bill McKeever. No one knows more about Mormonism than Bill McKeever. He founded Mormonism Research Ministry. He has been a contributor to the Christian Research Journal. And Bill, it's good to have you on the broadcast again.
Thank you, Hank. It's good to be with you.
Your article was very interesting. The article that you produced for the last edition of the Christian Research Journal, Mormonism Christian cult or question mark? And in that article, you quote President Spencer W. Kimball, the 12th president, I believe, who said one of the most fallacious doctrines originated by Satan and propounded by man is that man is saved alone by the grace of God, that belief in Jesus Christ alone is all that is needed for salvation. Is that a common view, that this is one of the most fallacious doctrines that someone could possibly purport, that being that we are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, on account of Jesus Christ alone?
It is certainly one of the arguments that I hear personally when I'm talking to Mormons on the street, or when I get emails, or talking to Mormons on the phone. It is certainly one of the things that pops up a lot of times in Mormon articles written by LDS general authorities or BYU professors and such. It's not that the Mormons don't have a doctrine of grace. It's just that grace has been defined by the LDS Church in such a way that there's a grace that allows you to do all the things you're supposed to do. And in fact, the Book of Mormon says in Moroni 10:32, that you don't even get the grace until you've denied yourself of all ungodliness. I've never met a Mormon who's done that, but that's certainly a part of Mormon scripture. And the works aspect is very important. Now, a Mormon will come back and say, well, we don't believe that we're saved by our works. And they're, in a sense, they're telling the truth. They don't believe it's just works. And that's often how they understand what we are trying to get across to them. They don't seem to understand that from our vantage point, from our New Testament understanding, that if you have to add anything to what Jesus did on the cross, then that's a work. And that would not qualify as our understanding of the gospel of grace. The problem is what Mormon is really doing, all that they're supposed to do, all the requirements that the LDS Church has laid down for them. And when I ask Mormons very specifically, if they were to die right now, do they have the assurance that all their sins are forgiven and they would receive the best their religion has for them, the answer is usually something like, yes, if I repent of all my sins, or yes, if I keep the commandments. And when you ask them, well, are you doing that right now? The answer is usually, well, I'm trying. Which, of course, in the context means they're not doing it. Otherwise, they wouldn't say they're trying. They would say they are doing it. But I don't find Mormons answer the question that way.
That leads me to another question, Bill. And you kind of hint at this in the article. The fact that there's a war going on, and that the LDS Church is very cleverly obscuring the truth about what they believe. In other words, they're obligated to guard the LDS Church in public matters, and the rationalization is, in war, there's good and evil going on, and we have, because of the evil imbued in society, a responsibility to guard the truth of the Mormon Church, to even use maybe deception, if that would be a proper word, if it is necessary in this war, this battle for the Mormon theocracy that'll come sometime in the future.
It's almost kind of like a Mormon version of the Islamic al-Taqiyya. If you're going to protect the faith or protect its leadership, many Mormons don't feel that there's a big problem in not being quite as candid as they probably should be when a person is asking a question of them. Right now, the Mormon Church has a website they call the Mormon Newsroom. You can easily go to it by going to mormonnewsroom.org. And they had an article that was posted several months ago called Mormonism 101, no relation to the book that Eric and I wrote, but it was supposed to answer some of the most basic questions regarding Mormon theology. Eric and I did a series of radio shows going through the questions that were on this website, and it is amazing at the obfuscation that is going on in this article. For instance, I've got one called up right here where it says, do Latter-day Saints believe that they will get their own planet? The answer, no. I mean, it says no, and then it goes on to explain why they don't believe that, saying it was actually speculative comments that have drawn critics to draw that kind of a conclusion. Well, let me just say, that's absolute nonsense. The Mormon Church right now, I can go down to the distribution center just a few miles from my home, and there are two books that are on sale right now in the Mormon distribution center, the Mormon bookstore, Gospel Fundamentals and another one called Teachings of Presidents of the Church. Okay. In both of those manuals, which are correlated manuals, in other words, they've been vetted, supposedly, by the First Presidency. What's inside these manuals can be taken to be gospel doctrine according to Mormonism. And in both of those manuals, it teaches very specifically that if a Mormon male is faithful, that he will get his own world in the next life, and he will be able to populate that world. But here on their website, they deny it.
Talking to Bill McKeever, he is the founder of Mormonism Research Ministry. Probably no one on the planet knows more about Mormonism than Bill McKeever, and also Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. By the way, there's a great article in the Christian Research Journal by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson titled Mormonism, Christian Cult, or Question Mark. You can subscribe to the journal on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Be back in just a few moments with your questions and more of Bill McKeever.
Few people know the story of Joseph Smith's quest to be our first Mormon president, or the secrets behind his rise to power. Learn the truth with the DVD, A Mormon President, Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House. Our gift to you when you support more Bible Answer Man broadcasts with your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you two additional resources sharing the truth of Mormon theology. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to give today. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. The first century AD, a time of tribulation and terror as the Roman Empire descended on Jerusalem and the prophecies of Jesus and the book of Revelation came shockingly true before believers' very eyes. Now, this period of persecution, prophecy, and perseverance comes to life for you in a new work of fiction, The Last Temple, the long-anticipated completion of The Last Disciple trilogy by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brauer. You'll understand why Revelation's apocalyptic language was perfectly appropriate for these horrifying days and gain new courage to live out your faith in our own troubled times. The Last Temple is our thank you for your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you the whole Last Disciple trilogy. So please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org.
Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains five of the greatest works by five of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me.
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max MacLean. To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
When we examine the life of Jesus Christ, we find a humble servant so blameless, so patient in suffering, even his worst enemies couldn't find a way to smear his name. In fact, we find the spotless Lamb of God, the only one qualified to be our Lord and Savior. But Joseph Smith, founder of Mormonism, was something else entirely. Learn his story and be better equipped to share the vital differences between Christianity and Mormonism with the revealing DVD, A Mormon President, Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House. It's our gift and appreciation for your ministry support today. For your gift of $100 or more, you'll receive two helpful resources examining Mormon theology. Your gifts keep the Bible Answer Man broadcast on the air. So please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org.
Mitt Romney, the uncontested Republican candidate for president, the religious standing of Mormonism has become a national conversation. Mormons are exploiting the discussion to promote public acceptance of their faith as Christian. But Christians can use it to further clarify the critical differences between the two faiths. Learn how to discern between truth and error with the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe online today at equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Well, let's return now to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much. Randy in the studio today with Elliot Miller. He's editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, and on the line, Bill McKeever, who's the founder of Mormonism Research Ministry. By the way, Bill also appeared in A Mormon President, the DVD that we're offering to our listeners all this month for their gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Before I go to another question, Bill, in general about Mormonism, your view of this DVD that we're offering to the public?
Oh, I think it's good to know that there was the aspirations of the founder of Mormonism to become the president of the church. I think a lot of the things that you mentioned earlier, for instance, the statement of Orson Hyde, who was a Mormon apostle, during the 19th century, there was a lot of very vocal rhetoric on the part of Mormon leaders that one day that the Mormons would possess the earth politically. This caused a lot of concern among non-Mormons during that time, and I've even heard the same concerns being mentioned today and in light of Romney's bid for the presidency. I get asked that question everywhere I go, like, what should a Christian do in this situation? And it I think is going to take a lot of a thoughtful consideration on this. We're in a very unique situation in our country right now, and though I don't usually tell people how to vote, I think there are some guidelines that they ought to consider before they do, and we've kind of offered some of those on our website as well. It's an interesting time, no doubt.
You know, you mentioned in the article you wrote for the Christian Research Journal that there's a Mormon church manual that is designed to be used by Mormon missionaries that defines the differences between Mormonism and Christianity by saying the priesthood authority needed to perform an ordinance which was lost centuries ago through apostasy, was restored through the prophet Joseph Smith, and that only through membership in the church can one receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This authority makes the church different from any other religion in the world. By the Lord's own declaration, says the manual, it is, speaking of Mormonism, the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth. How broadly is that idea, that the Mormon church is the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth? How broadly is that view held within Mormonism?
I find very few members of the LDS Church, very few, would not hold to that position. Most of the people that I talk to very much believe that their church is the only true church. And I hear it continually from Latter-day Saints. For somebody to say that the Mormon Church does not hold that unique view of itself really hasn't done a lot of study on Mormonism.
There are a lot of people hanging on that would love to talk to Elliot and Bill McKeever, so we'll go to the phone lines, take a few calls. Dave in Columbia, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've listened to you for quite some time, and I've been listening the past couple weeks or so. I am a recently new member to the church. It's been over a year. And I've been listening to what you've had to say, and I've listened to the public, and especially with Mitt Romney running for president. What concerns me that you gentlemen are saying, and that I guess maybe I'm not hearing, some of the things you are saying, I've never heard. And I have what kind of bothers me about this is Paul Ryan, Mitt Romney's running mate, is Catholic, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I've not heard you say anything about Catholics, okay? And I feel that if you're going to say something about Mormons, say something about Catholics, say something about every denomination. Yes, you're talking about Mormonism, but if you really break it down, it's for people to really understand and study what the church is all about, who Joseph Smith was, you can understand. But I think too many people get to hear the media, watch something, read something, and automatically think that the church is the worst thing, it's a cult. To me, that's very offensive. I'm not a member of a cult. I worship Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. And so for someone to say that is very offensive and very kind of, to me in a way, ignorant of their understanding of what it really means and the definition of the true church is.
Well, Dave, let me first say that I appreciate you very much calling the Bible Answer Man broadcast and voicing your very heartfelt concerns. I admire you for doing that. And I want to fairly address the questions that you have raised on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and I'll give Bill McKeever the first opportunity to speak. But I do want to allude to something that he put in the Christian Research Journal article that we're talking about by Mormon apostle Bruce McConkie, who wrote, "Only when the church is fed the bread of life are its members kept in paths of righteousness. It is the spiritually illiterate who become cultists and who forsake the faith." So in his view, if you're not part of Mormonism, he uses the cult word to define what you're part of. And the other thing I want to say before I go to Bill McKeever is this, that in all fairness to the prologue to your question, if you listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast for any period of time, you'll find that I do talk about a wide variety of belief systems, including Roman Catholicism. I answer questions on virtually anything that comes up. So in that sense, we're an equal opportunity offender, if you want to put it that way. But Bill, your comments.
Well, am I speaking to David? Is that your name, David?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. You said that you've been a member for about a year. Can I ask about how much in-depth study did you do in Mormon history and theology before you joined?
I don't know. Several months worth.
Okay.
I don't have a definite number for you, but several months. I tell you what, I come from a different denomination as a child growing up, mm-hmm. from a strict Protestant background. And many things that I'd went through and with the church I was at and how I grew up and how I believed. And it's not that I'm downing any of them, because I'm not, but I think that gave me a good foundation. And when I did investigate the church and find out that what it meant to me, what and how the Savior meant to me and what he'd done for me, it opened up, to myself, opened up my eyes to some things, and it put some pieces of a puzzle together in my life personally that I can only speak for myself that made sense of what it really meant.
Yeah, that's fair. Are you saying, though, that you can't have the relationship that you think you have outside of the Mormon church? I mean, what does that say about my relationship with Jesus? Does that mean my relationship is somehow lacking because I'm not a part of the Mormon church?
No, sir. I'm talking for myself. I can only speak for myself.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't speak for the church or anyone else. But I'm saying, for me personally, as I grew up in the denomination I grew up, is very strict, very Bible, Bible thumping, pulpit pounding religion and denomination. I found the church to be a place of comfort, of the teachings of the Savior, as it made me feel as if I was important. I was one of His children.
Okay. And well, the reason I'm asking, David, is because you mentioned earlier that a lot of the things that I was citing you had never heard before. Now, when a Mormon usually says that to me, it usually means that they find the statement somewhat offensive even to themselves. Did you find the quotes that I gave to be offensive to you, even though I'm quoting from Mormon sources?
No, but here's the way I look at this, sir. I don't find it offensive. Each person is entitled to their opinion, whether it be plus or minus. I look at it as whoever the source may be, they might have had a relationship with the church. Maybe they're no longer a member. I'm just saying, whatever the source is, I have to take it for what the Spirit tells me. I have to come from what the Spirit puts on my heart to believe and who to believe. And it's my relationship. And that's why the most important thing is that I want people to understand it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not a relationship.
Well, I guess that's the whole point.
Please, let me finish my...
Okay,
it's a relationship with Jesus Christ, not Joseph Smith. It is about Jesus Christ, and that's all it's about, gentlemen.
Okay. Well, the thing is, there's much more to Mormonism than just that topic, and that's what concerns many of us that are outside the Mormon Church. See, Joseph Smith said a lot of things about Jesus and about God the Father that are very troubling to us because they don't match what God has revealed in the Bible. For instance, when Joseph Smith says, "We have imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity, I will refute that idea and take away the veil so that you may see." He certainly is not referring to the God of the Bible, since Psalm 90, verse 2, makes it very clear that God was always God from everlasting to everlasting. Now, when Joseph Smith comes on the scene and outright contradicts what's been in God's Bible for all these many years, you can understand why we would have a genuine concern.
I understand that. That's like when I've talked to people about the Book of Mormon. And I just had a discussion with a person today about the Book of Mormon. And it's to me is, when I first read it, when it was introduced to me, just given to me, not forced to me, given to me to read, if I wanted, read it. And I read it. And I prayed about it. And to me, it made sense. Okay? Call it whatever you want. It made sense.
Okay.
It made clear that there could be another testament. You know, I'm not taking, you know, I grew up with the Bible. I grew up with the King James Bible in my family my entire life, and I still use that.
Yeah.
But you know what? When we say there can't be another something else, we limit our Creator. We are limiting our God.
But and do you believe that the Book of Mormon, David, talks about real people and real events?
Do you believe that the Bible talks about real people and real events?
Absolutely. But do you know why I believe that?
I
believe that? I believe that because there's evidence that supports that conclusion. There is no evidence to prove that Nephites ever existed. There's no proof. There's a museum downtown just a few miles from my home. There are no Nephite artifacts in that museum. They have no evidence that these people ever lived.
Okay.
Now, how do you get rid of a civilization that large? There's no trace of these people ever existing.
But you know what? People have not believed the Bible for how many centuries and said it was false. And yes, we have.
Well, you just changed the argument, though, David. What you did was
argument. I'm trying to make a point. I'm saying this, sir. When you put a limit on our Savior and when you put a limit on our Creator.
I'm not doing that.
You are putting a limit on ourselves to build the thing.
No,
David,
I'm not limiting the Savior. I'm merely saying there's no evidence to support historically or archaeologically the Book of Mormon narrative. There's no evidence that shows that these people really existed. There is evidence to show that the people in the Bible existed. There's no evidence for the Book of Mormon.
And we're going to have to leave it at that, David. Once again, I really do admire you for calling on the show. I know that's not easy for you to do, and you were very articulate and very kind and courteous in your comments, and hope you'll call me another time so we can continue the discussion right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. A very important discussion. I guess we were talking at the end here about what I think is perhaps the most important part of the discussion, and that is, what is your authority? And how do you know that what you believe is true? Is it merely a feeling, or is the Bible something that we can absolutely trust? Mormonism says no. You can't really trust the Bible. You can only trust it insofar that it is correctly translated, and believes that the Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book on earth and is the keystone to their religion. Again, what do the facts say? Is, in my view, the operative question. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your questions as well when you dial 888-ASK-HANK.
The life of Joseph Smith has a lot to teach us about the church he founded. And with Mormonism in the spotlight today, we have an amazing opportunity to share the truth if we're equipped. We'll send you the DVD, A Mormon President, Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House, in appreciation for your ministry support today. For your gift of $100 or more, you'll receive two additional resources explaining the theological gulf between Mormonism and Christianity. Please call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be back in a moment with more of the answers you need today.
We'll be right back. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Did the prophet Daniel predict a seven-year great tribulation period? The answer to that question is yes. But the next question is, when did or when will this great tribulation take place? Hank Hanegraaff answers this question in a feature-length Ask Hank column. Other topics include surmounting cultural barriers in presenting the gospel to Muslims, defending Christianity in the marketplace of ideas like the Apostle Paul, addressing the emotional problem of evil, evolution's Achilles heel, Kierkegaard and U2 on authentic love, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The first century AD, a time of tribulation and terror as the Roman Empire descended on Jerusalem, and the prophecies of Jesus and the book of Revelation came shockingly true before believers' very eyes. Now, this period of persecution, prophecy, and perseverance comes to life for you in a new work of fiction, The Last Temple. The long-anticipated completion of The Last Disciple trilogy by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brauer. You'll understand why Revelation's apocalyptic language was perfectly appropriate for these horrifying days and gain new courage to live out your faith in our own troubled times. The Last Temple is our thank you for your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you the whole Last Disciple trilogy. So please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org.
Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains five of the greatest works by five of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me.
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max MacLean. To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication designed to equip you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. When you subscribe to the journal, you'll receive a magazine that's not only scholarly in its substance, but beautiful in its presentation, easily accessible and relevant, with stunning graphics and rich content written by respected theologians and communicators. The Christian Research Journal is a must-have resource that no Christian home should be without. Start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, again joining me in studio. Elliot Miller, Editor-in-Chief of the Christian Research Journal, and via the phone lines, Bill McKeever. He is the founder of Mormonism Research Ministry. And, of course, we are talking about Mormonism. In a few moments, we'll broaden the topic to any question that you have, because Elliot and I are going to stay here for an extra hour once we go off the air, continue taking your calls. So if you're hanging on, do be patient. We will get to you. If you open the Book of Mormon, the very first words you're going to encounter are these. The Book of Mormon is a volume of Holy Scripture comparable to the Bible. It is a record of God's dealings with the ancient inhabitants of the Americas and contains, as does the Bible, the fullness of the everlasting gospel. And you say, Bill McKeever, that is absolutely false, that the Book of Mormon simply does not correspond to reality, while on the other side of the coin, the Bible does. The people, places, and particulars that you find in the Bible, you can also find attesting evidence to in the soil.
Absolutely. Now, I'm not trying to imply that everything mentioned in the Bible has been found, but certainly a lot of what is mentioned in the Bible has been discovered, which I think verifies the Bible from at least a historical and archaeological perspective. The problem for the Book of Mormon is they haven't even gotten there yet. They're not that they're not trying, it's just that there's no evidence yet that they've dug up that actually supports what we find in the Book of Mormon. Now, this isn't just me speaking as a Christian who obviously has a bias. I mean, I can quote people who don't have a dog in this fight. One of the people that I like to cite a lot is Dr. Michael Coe, who is a professor at Yale and an expert in Mesoamerican archaeology. And he actually said back in 2007, he said, in the case of the Book of Mormon, you've got a much bigger problem. You really do. You have another part of the world where the archaeology is really very well known now. We know a lot about people like the Maya and their predecessors. So to try to find unlikely evidence in an unlikely spot, you've got a problem. And of course, none of the finds that the biblical archaeologists are rightly proud about, no finds on that level have ever come up for Mormon archaeologists, which makes it a big problem. There is no tangible evidence for this, and this, I think, is a struggle that many Latter-day Saints who think about this is a struggle that they really have. They really do have to believe in these people without any evidence to show that they ever existed.
I mentioned Dr. Thomas Murphy on the broadcast the other day. He's a Mormon anthropologist, and he is a scholar who said, we are in a dilemma now. The genetic evidence shows clearly that American Indians are not Hebrews. They are not Israelites. The archaeological evidence shows that the Book of Mormon is not true. We have based our beliefs upon the Book of Mormon, which we thought was an accurate ancient historical record. The genetic evidence has pretty much conclusively shown that that is not possibly the case. Because we gave it the status of the Word of God, we have to change what we mean by the Word of God. That's a dangerous prospect for any religion to do, and I don't know what many Mormons would accept that as a possibility. And there isn't a lot of alternative, close quote. Again, this is from a Mormon anthropologist. And Bill, that broadens the issue to not only archaeology, but anthropology.
Yes. And you know, Thomas Murphy was vilified for his comments several years ago when he started coming out on this issue. And I find that a lot of the Mormon apologists pretty much have learned they better not go that way, because they realize that Murphy's absolutely correct. And I just can only pray for, you know, like people like David, because I know he's relatively new to the church, and I'm sure he hasn't done a lot of study into the history of Mormonism. I'm sure when he does, and that time may come in his life where he's going to realize he probably made a huge mistake. My point in asking him about his relationship with Jesus is, I have found when I talk to ex-Mormons that their relationship with Jesus is just increases exponentially. I mean, for one, you actually have the biblical Jesus, not the Jesus that the Mormon Church has invented, a Jesus who became God at a particular point in time, who was a spirit brother of Lucifer and things like that. That is foreign to what Christians have ever believed regarding Jesus. And I can only hope that members like David, who I'm sure are very sincere, would do a little bit more study in looking into this religion, because I'm sure he's going to find parts of it that are going to be very disturbing. I often ask Latter-day Saints, if I was to draw a circle on a piece of paper and ask you to fill in that circle according to how much you think you know about your religion, how much of that circle could you really fill in? I would have to assume a person that's only been in the church for about a year would not be able to fill in very much of that circle. I've been studying Mormonism for much of my life, about 40 years, and I've read a lot of stuff, and I would say there would still be a white area if I was to fill in that circle, which means there could be something out there that they are not aware of that, if they knew about it, could change their entire perspective about Joseph Smith and about the doctrines that he brought about. Many Latter-day Saints are finding that information, thanks to, you know, places like the internet and radio and things like that. Mormons are starting to see, read, and hear what's going on in their faith. And this whole Mormon moment, I think, is really exacerbating the problem for the Mormon church, because people now are curious and they're looking to know, what is it about this religion that it's gone from, you know, being hated and vilified to now we may even have a man in the White House who holds to this religion. People are curious. And there's a lot of Latter-day Saints, they're actually worried about this. They don't like this kind of attention. Now, some do, but there are a lot that are very worried about it.
In your article, Mormonism, Christian Cult, or Question Mark, in the Christian Research Journal, you mentioned that even though Mormon leaders have consistently taught that everyone, including Jesus and Lucifer, are spiritually related in a pre-mortal existence before being born into this world, the question is generally considered insensitive and even outrageous by many. And when Huckabee, former governor Huckabee mentioned this, he had to apologize despite the fact that his question was rooted in an accurate contention.
Oh, yeah. Many leaders have made that connection between Jesus and Lucifer. I was actually in a conference here in Salt Lake City, and it was a small panel, and Kim Farah, who's one of the PR people at the LDS Church, was there. And she recounted the story about Mike Huckabee bringing that up. And the people in the room actually chuckled. And I thought, why are they chuckling? That is a doctrine of Mormonism. Why are they acting as if Huckabee was out to lunch on this? He was absolutely correct. That's why I felt bad that he felt the need to apologize. I certainly won't apologize if I say something that's actually true. Why would I apologize for that? But you see, that's what happens. Many times in our culture today, even when you say something that's true, the opponent will try to make you look foolish, to make you back off. And sadly, many Christians do just that. They're not that familiar with Mormon teachings. Maybe they're unsure about what they said. But if they've actually been teaching these things for years and years, then why shouldn't we talk about this?
I just wanted to jump in here and make a comment. I see an analogy here. It's this politically correct pressure that we have in our culture right now to not rock the boat and accept everybody. And so now if people make accurate observations about homosexuality, then they are shamed into apologizing for it because it's just simply not politically acceptable or culturally acceptable to make even true observations about homosexuality today. And then you are, you know, ridiculed as some kind of bigot, you know, for simply stating that which is true. Well, my concern here is that, especially if Governor Romney is elected to the White House, there will be, and also even in these days going up to the election, and there's pressure, you know, because nobody, you know, seems to want to entertain the possibility of the alternative. So in order to facilitate, his success in his campaign, don't rock the boat by pointing out anything that's true, you know. I think it was certainly a political kind of slash cultural pressure that descended with a vengeance upon Governor Huckabee that would have led him to apologize for saying something that's true, you know. But
you're right. And we're seeing a lot of that. In fact, I need to still answer a lady that wrote me an email who actually said that we were going to sink Romney's presidency. And I'm thinking, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not doing anything different than I've been doing for the past, you know, 3 decades. I haven't changed anything. And we don't even really make Romney the focus of a lot of our attention. Now, his name has to come up in some of the things that we're talking about. I mean, when you talk about the Constitution hanging by a thread, Mormonism possessing the earth, there are some concerns that people have. Do Mormons really believe that now? Does Romney believe that now? I don't know what Romney personally believes on those issues, but these are questions that come up and people are looking for answers. Now, I can't go the route of saying, well, I can't talk about it because I might offend somebody.
Now, these are rightful questions to be asked when people are making a decision how to vote. Everything needs to be considered. This is just one aspect of consideration, but it's a worthy aspect for discussion.
I agree. And I don't think we should shrink from that. I think we need to be forthright in our answers and be bold. I think we need to show a genuine concern for the LDS people, a genuine concern for the subject matter. Certainly, I don't look at the Mormon people as enemies at all. And I often tell Mormons that, don't look at me as being an enemy merely because I'm quoting your own authorities. I would think that you would be glad I'm telling the world what your leaders have said on these subjects. But a lot of Mormons don't take it that way for some reason.
Well, Bill, really appreciate your ministry and your contribution to the Bible Instrument broadcast of the Christian Research Journal and your books, including the book that we have for so many years been promoting on the Bible Instrument broadcast, Mormonism 101. Again, thank you so much for your contribution, for your work to equip God's people to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them, with gentleness and with respect.
Thank you.
And again, Bill McKeever, he is the founder of Mormonism Research Ministry. He's a contributor to the Christian Research Journal. You can find his article in the last edition of the Christian Research Journal. If you have not subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, take an opportunity to do so right away. You can do so in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also subscribe via the mail, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Of course, you can do so via the phone as well by talking to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000. And the letters CRI. Again, we're going to be talking about Mormonism this month because it is our focus. We are offering a DVD, a Mormon President Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House. Also, my flip chart. It's a 4x6 laminated flip chart. The feature of that flip chart is it is memorable. It puts the information into your mind so you can use the deviations of Mormonism as an opportunity to share the truth of the Christian gospel. Also, a booklet called The Mormon Mirage, Seeing Through the Illusion of Mainstream Mormonism. All three of those resources available for your gift of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Again, check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Many of you hanging on, we're going to stay right here for an extra hour. If you're hanging on, be patient. We will get to you. If you're dialing in for the next hour, here's the number to dial to get your question answered as well. 888-ASK-HANK. Thanks for tuning in. See you tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you want more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or log on to equip.org, where you can listen to the show live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. When Christians serve the Lord in Muslim-majority nations, it is expected that they take on some of their host culture's behavior to help reduce barriers to people hearing the gospel. As the Apostle Paul said, we must learn how to be all things to all people, that by all means we might save some. Other topics include, is dispensationalism indispensable? Could environmentalism become a global religion? To defend marriage, we should learn a lesson from apologetics. Plus, a feature-length Ask Hank column and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. When we examine the life of Jesus Christ, we find a humble servant so blameless, so patient in suffering, even his worst enemies couldn't find a way to smear his name. In fact, we find the spotless Lamb of God, the only one qualified to be our Lord and Savior. But Joseph Smith, founder of Mormonism, was something else entirely. Learn his story and be better equipped to share the vital differences between Christianity and Mormonism with the revealing DVD, A Mormon President, Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House. It's our gift and appreciation for your ministry support today. For your
your gift of $100 or more, you'll receive two helpful resources examining Mormon theology. Your gifts keep the Bible Answer Man broadcast on the air. So please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org.